We mentioned that during the wartime that Rav Dessler, when he had lived in England, and he was actually a Rav, he started out as a Rav in London, which did not give him too much satisfaction, because that was not the place that he felt he was able to give out his major talents and his koiches, which was in the world of Musar and Harbatsa Satayra. So also because of the bombing in the area, so many people, Pasha, they fled to the countryside, different areas. So he lived in a place called Chesham in England. So it was in the summer of 1941, we had mentioned that he receives a letter to participate in the establishment of the Gateshead Koilo. And we mentioned the very chashuv person, Yidid Tzadik, actually was a sheikhet, who was a person who sent that letter to Rav Dessler, the invitation. The Rav Dessler was Rav David Ryan. Rav Ryan was a sheikhet. The sheikhet in Gateshead, and it was really that response that Rav Dessler gave in the affirmative, which really thrust him onto the public stage. Because up to that point, even though he had written a lot regarding the world of Musar in many areas, but nothing had been published. And it was this really starting out with the accepting of being involved in founding the Koilo in Gateshead, which brought him out onto the public stage. And the idea was, the whole impetus, Bechlal, even to start a Koilo at that time, was because there was an arrival in England, a handful of outstanding young Talmidei Chachamim. In the late 1930s, as a consequence of the deteriorating situation in Eastern Europe, so they came to England, and many of them, young married, actually lived in Gateshead. So that was the idea, came forth, that possibly, but starting a koilo. Just want to mention that there was a Yid by the name of Ephraim Bloch, was his name, who happened to be zeiche to secure for himself two outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, products of the Lithuanian yeshivas, for sons-in-law. One son-in-law of Rabbi Ephraim Bloch was a goyin, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Apyan. Chaim Shmuel Apyan was a mechaber, the sefer Rav Chiddush Shemata and the Shef Shemata, a very, very popular sefer. He was the Talmud of Tells, old Tells. And he wrote that sefer on the Shef Shemata. The Shef Shemata is the classic, the mechaber, the Ksais HaChoshin as well. And the sefer Rav Chiddush Shemata, a lot of the Hagoyis, or the Haoris on the bottom, are really a lot of things from Rabbi Chaim Tellzer and from the school of Tells. That's from Chaim Shmuel Apyan, a very chashuv sefer. Another son-in-law of this Rabbi Ephraim Bloch was a yid by the name of Rabbi Aryeh Leib Grosnas, who was known in London as Dayan Grosnas, a very chashuv Dayan, who was a Talmud of Baruch Ber in Kamenitz yet. Also interesting is that Rabbi Yudit Zev Siegel, the famous Mashgiach also was living in Gateshead. It's just good to mention that Rabbi Siegel Lamaise was not part of the Koilel in Gateshead, because he became a Magichir in Manchester Yeshiva, which was started by his father. But even though he was in Manchester, but he became a close Talmud. Rav Siegel, Zev Siegel became a close Talmud of Dessler, because Rav Dessler used to go about twice a week to Manchester to deliver shiurim, deliver shmuzim. As a result, he became a very close Talmud. So the famous Mashgiach, Rav Yudah Zev Siegel, is known as a Talmud of Rav Dessler. So the nekuda is, this Rav David Ryan was the one that they approached, that maybe he's the one who can be, who's an askin, he's someone who is an active person, an activist. He'll be able to maybe to start this koilo, because he already had proven himself, because he was a driving force behind founding of the gates of yeshiva 12 years earlier. So being that he already had proven himself that he has a koyach regarding founding the yeshiva, so now when it comes 12 years later to found a koyach, possibly he'll be the right man to do it. And sure enough, he was the one who adopted the idea very enthusiastically. And but he realized that in order for this cult to be successful, he understood that in order to succeed, it would require somebody of stature. You need someone of stature, someone who has talent to be able to head it. And therefore, he drafted a letter describing the proposed koilel. The letter was sent to a list of prominent rabbonim then living in England. Rav Dessler was only one. And I believe we once mentioned that Rav David communicated, he sent letters to 22 rabbonim regarding the possibility that they would be involved in founding this koilel. The responses, you can realize, basically tells us much about the obstacles facing the whole idea of a kollel in those days. In England, 18 did not even bother responding. And of the three Rabbonim that did respond, three or four that did respond, he says, well, it was three, Rav Dessler was the other one. It was so makes it 22. So the three that did respond said, it's a great idea, but not now. So the only one who really accepted the invitation, the affirmative, was Rav Dessler. And it's interesting to point out that the enthusiasm regarding this kollel, Lamaise, it was a good idea, but he had one problem. And the problem was because it means that if he's part of founding this kollel in Gateshead, it means he has to move to Gateshead. At the same time, Rav Dessler had a strong loyalty. He says, leaving Talmidim that he was committed to, that he taught, Talmidim that lived in London. So now he was in Chesham, as we said, but from Chesham to London was not far. But he moves to Gateshead. Moving to Gateshead is something of at least a 5-hour train ride, which means that if you still want to keep in touch with his old Talmidim, to move to Gateshead somehow would not seem practical. And in addition, he said that the duties with the kollel would seemingly leave him no time even for the Talmidim that he nurtured for about 10 years' time. So he had sort of a dilemma, predicament. On the one hand, he very much wanted to be part of this kollel, founding this kollel. And yet it means he has to move to Gateshead, and he felt a strong loyalty. He just felt he cannot abandon his Talmidim. He knew how dependent Talmidim were on him, and they were like sons to him. So simply to abandon them was out of the question. So eventually he finds the answer to his dilemma in a medrash in Brachos Rabbah, which that medrash, and by the way, this is what I'm mentioning, because I'll just quote just a few lines of it, is mentioned in Michtav Aliyov, not this whole story, the dilemma, but the pshat in the medrash, but that was where he solved his own problem. But he has an essay in Chelik Beis, page 166 or so, in the Michtav Aliyov, Chelik Beis, where the medrash really talks about an apparent argument between two chachomim over Avraham Avinu's relationship with his nephew Lot. The quote you very interesting is that there are two opposing views regarding Avraham Avinu's relationship with his nephew Lot. And it's mentioned as follows. The lashon that is mentioned in the medrash, it says as follows. One medrash says like this: Hashem Omer al Avraham. Right? Hashem speaks to Avraham after he separated from Lot. So opinion number one, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, Kas hoya al Avinu Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu was upset. You hear this opinion? Kodesh Baruch Hu was upset, al Avinu Avraham b'sho shepirish loit ben ochiv me'imoi. Omer HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu said like this, L'koil hu medabik hu leloit ochiv eina medabik. Avraham Avinu is the one who is mekar of people, right? Who are the further and far away, distant people. So if you are Mekara, people are so far away, you're on the Kora, somebody like Lot yourself, you're not, you're separating yourself from him. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, you're able to draw others close, and your own nephew Lot, you're not able to work on him. So it was an indictment against Avraham Avinu. That's one opinion. Hashem Omar El Avraham. Rabbi Yehuda says it was an indictment. Then comes Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia was the other way around. Mamish the opposite. Nechemiah says the cast against Avraham Avinu was that he was too much Makar of Lot up until now even. Just the opposite. And the time of the Medrash is like this. Kas hoy lola Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu had cast b'shosho imahalech Lot im Avraham Avinu. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani omarti loy, I said to Avraham Avinu, lezaracho nosati esoret sazois. I'm giving it to your descendants. The way that you're Makar of Lot, it appears that somehow he's going to yashin it, and therefore Eretz Yisrael somehow is going to end up in the hands of Lot. It's not good to be Makar of him too much, because he'll somehow end up sort of like being your Yairish. Im Kain, if that's the case, if you're going to have Lot being like your Yairish, so Lemaisa, he says, then you might as well just give it to anybody else. The idea was that we have two opinions regarding Avraham Avinu's relationship. One opinion says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry for separating himself from Lot, and the other opinion says just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry for being Makar of them too much. So, on the face, looking at it, you know, just from the top, Down, he says, it seems that these two opinions are irreconcilable. These two opinions are really one opposite the other. One hand of Rav Avinu being criticized right for sending Lloyd away. On the other hand, the Medrash says of Rav Avinu being criticized for allowing him to remain in the house for as long as he did. So, it's important to point out that one of Rav Dessler's basically fundamental principles, Bechlal, in interpreting Medrash, and this is his style in many, many areas, that is to take apparently conflicting opinions that they're basically two sides of the same coin. They're not really in contradiction. They're two sides of the same coin. And Memela, here too, following his standard method of interpretation, he said that Dessler succeeds also in reconciling the two opinions. And he says as follows, let me just quote you first of all the Lashon that he says it in his essays, we send the Sefer. And he says as follows, Nevayer is Pesher Adover. Let me explain and to show you how the two opinions really are not necessarily opposing opinions, but as we said, they're two sides of the same coin. And again, the question is, one opinion says that Avraham Avinu is being criticized. Rav Avinu is being criticized for the fact that he sends Lloyd away. On the other hand, the other opinion says that Rav Avinu is criticized for allowing him to remain long enough. So which is it? Was he supposed to send him away? Was he allowed to keep him? So Rav Dessler says as follows. Mitzarechot, he says, on the one hand, this is the same Mechtev Eliyahu Chelik Beis. So he says, Mitzarechot hoya Rav Avinu mechuyev lekarev es Lloyd she'er besori, leshpiolov. On the one hand, of course, Avraham Avinu, who is the strongest, if anybody can be Mekarev, anybody should be Avraham Avinu. So Avinu, on the one hand, had a chiv to try to be Mekarev, Eloit, will Ashpiel to be Mishpiel. On the other hand, he says, Ulam, in the Madrega of Avraham Avinu, looking at Avraham Avinu, looking at the present of Avraham Avinu, the present of Avraham Avinu is at the time that he was associated with Eloit. Looking at Avraham Avinu's Madrega, as it were, the Madrega of Avraham Avinu was standing, Lohoye Yochel Ashpielov, would not be shaykh by Avraham Avinu to be mashpia without he himself being affected. Sometimes coming too close with people like Lloyd, instead of you being mashpia on them, they might be mashpia on you, at least somewhat. So yes, on the one hand, Avraham Avinu should be mashpia on Lloyd, but the present Avraham Avinu could not afford to do it. Why? Because there's a danger that if he would try to associate too closely with Lloyd, then in fact Lloyd would affect Avraham Avinu. No, so what's the time of Rav Avinu? So what should he do? Says Rav Dessler. He says, so on the one hand, so being Rav Avinu, as it were, in the present situation, Avada, he had no choice but to separate himself. That's the opinion that says that Rav Avinu and Lloyd cannot coincide, cannot live side by side. Because instead of Rav Avinu being successful, succeeding by being Mashpia and Lloyd, Lloyd, on the other hand, may affect Rav Avinu. On the other hand, Avraham Avinu is still being indicted. Why is he being indicted? For sending away Lloyd. We're just saying that it would be dangerous for Avraham Avinu to associate with Lloyd. U'b'chol zois nitva ala pirid haza atzmoi. But nevertheless, Avraham Avinu was being indicted for sending away Lloyd. Right? Why? Kiharei ein soiv. Listen what he says. Kiharei ein soiv l'dargis oliyah. Who stops Avraham Avinu from growing even to a higher madrega? Now, there were maybe Avraham Avinu should be working upon himself to elevate himself even to greater heights. Velu means if it were. Velu hoy Avraham Avinu mis ale b'madregosoi b'midu yoyse gedoylo hoy magia le dargish lo hoyse poyelus olot hischabrusem loy, and nothing could have damaged Avraham Avinu's relationship loy. So the prayer of Avraham Avinu, as it were, had no choice but to send away Lloyd. Rav Avinu is taking the task of Rav Avinu. You should have grown in your madrega, you should have elevated your madrega, you should have worked on yourself to the point that Lloyd could have no effect on you. So Rav Dessler says, and the lesson is, he says, so Avada, Lloyd, of course, as we see, was on a lowly spiritual level. Rav Avinu could have, the present of Rav Avinu, Rav Avinu's present madrega would have been, as we say, adversely affected by being together with Lloyd. But on the other hand, the solution maybe was not to send Lloyd away, but the solution was maybe work on yourself. The solution would have been maybe Avraham Avinu to elevate himself to the point that he would be incapable of being adversely affected by Lloyd, and then which would allow him to lift up Lloyd, right, to a madrega to become a worthy member of Avraham Avinu's household. So therefore there's two situations. The present Avraham Avinu could not afford to be with Lloyd, but the taina was Avraham Avinu, why don't you work on yourself? Why don't you machazik? Why don't you elevate yourself even? Because of this, there's no end, there's no gavul to the height that a person is able to raise up himself. And the time of Avraham Avinu was that maybe you should have grown even spiritually stronger. And if you would have been spiritually stronger, you would not have to worry on that higher level coming in contact with Lloyd. What did Rav Dessler take out of that practical message? Rav Dessler takes out of that that a person has to undertake any burden, he says, to ensure that those for whom you are spiritually responsible do not come to harm. And therefore, he says, if I have Talmidim left behind, that I feel I have the achrayus to see that they remain in the madrega that they are, so Rav Dessler says as follows. Yes, I'm going to accept, on the one hand, being part of the Koila, moving to Gateshead. You know what it meant? But at the same time, I'm not going to abandon my Talmidim. Which means to say is, it meant that in his case, he took upon himself, which was an almost superhuman schedule. And that was traveling through the night by train, 2 or 3 times a week. 2 times a week. So on the one hand, he's in Gateshead, but at the same time, he's still in contact with his previous Talmidim. That was the only way to do it. In spite of the toll, in spite of the tircha, in spite of all the trouble with me that we have to do and undertake and be mekabel upon himself, he was ready to do it. So, if you might be aware, in the last few years, a very choshev sefer, a series of svarim, which one of the Mashgichim of Ponovich was Reb Chaim Friedlander, which was a Talmud of Rav Dessler himself, Sefer Sifsi Chaim, very popular sefer had become the last few years, in Olam HaTorah, in Olam HaYeshivas. That lesson of Rav Dessler was passed down to Reb Chaim Friedlander himself, which means to say as follows. Reb Chaim Friedlander became one of the closest Talmidim of Rav Dessler in Ponovich in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chaim Friedlander became one of the closest Talmidim of Rav Dessler in the Ponovich Yeshiva, and originally Reb Chaim Friedlander served as Mashgiach in Yeshiva Sanegev in Netivot in Eretz Yisrael. Mashgiach in Yeshiva Sanegev. Subsequently, he was offered the prestigious position of becoming Mashgiach in Ponovich. The same position once held by Rav Dessler, that was Nifter already. Both positions were full-time positions. He was a Mashgiach in Yeshiva Sanegev. Now he becomes Mashgiach in Ponovich. So Rabbi Friedlander recalled the example of Rav Dessler, and therefore he agreed to accept the position in Ponovich only on the condition that he could simultaneously remain in his position in Yeshiva Sanegev. And he did this by traveling every Sunday evening, back, leaving Bnei Brak, going to Netivot every Sunday evening, and devoting the entire day of Monday to the needs of the students way back. So this is the idea, taking on new challenges but not abandoning the old challenges. That's someone, of course, they're very, very idealistic. And of course, this is what Rav Dessler was, and we saw that it was that hashkof and it was that type of a commitment that was passed on to one of his also closest talmidim, was Reb Chaim Friedlander. All right, so this gives us a little bit again more insight again in what Rav Dessler's dedication was to the world of Torah, to the world of Misr, and to disseminating Torah. I think we go here to page 25, if you have it here. The bottom one is the last line, Odom Bori. And we'll make just a small reintroduction of what we're discussing, what Odessa is trying to explain. Page 25, sit on the bottom, Gimel, Oiz Gimel, all the way in the bottom. Odom Bori. Have it all the way in the bottom, Odom Bori, page 25. Should have it. Elam has it? Yeah? You have it, yeah? Okay. Rav Dessler was referring to the Maimer, in the beginning of the Maimer, regarding the situation that Bocher Rebbe, that Odom, right? Yeshkoina lomo bishachas. It's possible for somebody to be, let's say, a Baal Shuva, or someone to do something, a tremendous act, and therefore he's able to be koina olam haba in one moment. And yet you have tzaddikim who work all their lives, and this yeshkoina lomo, he says, bekama shonim. But the Gemara says, Bocher Rebbe cried. when he became aware that a person can be koina olam haba b'shachar, what is he crying about? It's a great thing. Be koina olam haba in one moment. What's that to cry about? Be rejoicing. So this is what Rav Dass is trying to explain. What is the Bocha Rebbe? Rebbe was crying regarding yesh koina olam b'shachas. So it starts like this. So Odom Bari, he says, when you have, he says, a healthy person who who besulam biatzmoi, a healthy person, of course, is able, he says, to climb a ladder by himself. A healthy person is able to climb a ladder by himself. And im gam yila kishiyu dargois harbe. Now it's true. It's true that what, that he might get a little bit tired, but he still manages to do it. It takes a little more effort. He's a healthy person. He'll be able to climb a ladder that has many, many rungs. He may get tired, but he's still able to do it. He says, gam acholish v'acholay yale. And even a person, let's say, who is weak or ill, right, will also be able to climb the ladder if he must, but he might need some assistance. In other words, maybe he'll take a stick or something. He'll look for as much help as possible, right, to be able to do it. But otherwise he'll be able to do it. He may need more assistance. He says, Hayelad mishtamish biyodav araglos. For example, a child climbing a ladder, for him it's quite difficult. He'll scramble up with his arms and legs, and he may succeed in climbing a few rungs. He'll be able to do something. Hayelad mishtamish, he says, biyodav araglos, voila ezadargus. And be able to climb up a few rungs. However, says Rav Dessler, ach chituch araglayim. But a person, he says, who's a cripple, what can a cripple do? People, a person is weak, okay, so he needs help, but he can do it with help. A child will be able to do it, scramble up hands, knees, legs, he'll do it. So it takes as much assistance, he'll do it. But a person with mamish is a cripple, to the point is that both of his legs are amputated. So he cannot even stand, right? That person whose legs are amputated cannot even stand. And Amela, he says, he keeps falling down. So imagine a situation where a person is a cripple, right? His both legs are amputated, and you have flood waters all around him. He has to save himself. What can he do? Even with exerting himself with all his might, with all the terche, with all the effort, he won't be able to achieve anything. His legs are amputated. He has only one. He has only one eitzah, which when he is confronted with the situation of life and death, what does he do? He screams for help. He himself can't do it. No way. With all the effort, he can't do it. What he'll do is, he'll scream for help to those who have rachmanis. Right? That they should come and they'll carry him up. Right? Right? He also gets to the top, but not by his own efforts. But lamaita, they took him up. So here we have a situation. A person who has legs, if he's healthy, avadi can do it. Even if he's not that healthy, it'll take him more time. But he has legs, he has hands, he's able to do it. Even a child, more difficulty, be able to do it. But a person who is totally, who's a cripple, a person who's amputated both legs, he himself can't do it at all. What he needs is poshet, he can ask, he's dependent on outside help, and that's what all he can do is cry out for help, and hopefully somebody will come along and carry him up to the top. So that's the same thing is not only in the physical world, the same thing is in the world of spiritual Avodas Hashem. The same thing is mamish, the same thing you'll find out, he says, that Cain who mamish, he says, besulam Avodas Hashem. The exact same thing we find when you're dealing, he says, climbing the ladder of Avodas Hashem. You'll find that the healthy people, spiritual healthy people, then you have people who are not that healthy, and then you have people who are crippled in the area of Avodas Hashem. And he goes on to show the following analogy. In the area of Avodas Hashem, he says, you have people, you have a tzaddikim mizoilim biatzimun. Those who are tzaddikim, they are able to climb the spiritual ladder by themselves, and amela by their own efforts, v'noitzchim es yitzron b'chol dargi. They conquer the Yetzirah at each step. The yesh, he says, and there are those, shi'alu b'kvedus, there are those that find the going difficulty. And then you have beginners, who are like the beginner of children, like we spoke about children climbing a ladder. You have people who are spiritually like in the madrig of children. Those who are maschilim, those who are beginners, so she'em bebechinas yelodim, so they need more help. Mistayim biyodeim ubamakleis. So maybe they have to avail themselves by any means that present themselves, right? Which could mean with all types of shloi lishmos. These are the aid factors. In the world of Avodas Hashem, the aid that a person might need to be able to spur him on and to give him the encouragement might be all types of shloi lishmos, because he's not spiritually sound. So what is able to give him the help, what is able to give him the koyach, what is that is going to give him the drive? So he avails himself, he says, b'chol min shloi lishmos, all types of shloi lishmos. But in any case, they're able to do it. Using shloi lishmo, using their own effort, right? Using their own effort, together with whatever is going to help them to be able to do it, but they're able to do it. Aval harishoyim balemum. But then there are people who are spiritually cripples. To the point, he says, to the point, Asher Yuchel is Gabra al Yitzrom Klau, where they have no ability whatsoever to be Mizgabra under Yesahara. Ki libo metumtem betumarabo. He says, because it is that their hearts have become so defiled, have become so fashtopped, so clogged, that heim lo yuchlu lalas, they are like spiritually amputated. They are spiritually amputated, they are not able to climb the ladder, afila daga achas ketana bishumayfim. They are not able even to make one step, because they have no spiritual limbs. They have lost, they have not, like the situation as he pointed out before, the chitach reglayim. So in the middle, the avenues of spiritual powers by these people are blocked, and therefore they can't ascend even the smallest step by themselves. They can't do it. So what do they do? It's like in the Moshe before. If a person, right, whose legs are amputated, and he surrounded himself by floodwaters, and it's a matter of life and death, he has only one exit. It's a cry out for help that someone should come and take them up to the top. So a person who is spiritually crippled and has no power within himself, has no strength in himself to fight his Yetzirah, so in one Eitzah, somebody else has to do it for them. Cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu sees that he really wants to save himself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him up to the top. Like in the Moshe, like before, the person who is physically amputated will have to come on to the aid and to the help of others. So he says like this. So he points out, what does he do? He says, "Mayasur heim, heim akayrim al Hashem." So they cry out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "V'merachem aleim v'yalem lemala b'li dagus." And the Kodesh Baruch Hu has rachmonis and takes them up without, right, without having to go through the madregas. They don't have to even step on one rung. In other words, it's an express elevator. This person who wants to become a Baal Tshuva, he can't do it on his own because he has been so spiritually defiled. All the avenues of spiritual powers, right, have been clogged, have been removed from him. He doesn't have the power. So therefore now the only answer is to cry out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to do it for me. The Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore comes and takes him up all the way without having him to go step by step, rung by rung, ladder by ladder. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes him up. Im libam, as long as the heart of these people are true, they're sincere. Im libam, he says, yishave bekirbam. If the situation is the hardest broken, and in fact they truly have remorse for all the wrongdoing, and the mispal to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so yimtzu es atzmom lemalo, he says they will find themselves suddenly at the top, because Kodesh Baruch Hu will do all the work for them, will tell them, will bring them up. What do you find this posik? As the Novi says, v'nasati lochem leiv chodosh, I'll give you a new heart. The Pesuk says later, and a Ruach Chadosh, and I'll also give you a new spirit, I'll put into you. And therefore, the Tzaddik himself, right, has to work, but he's working with his own koiches. The Tachat Asher Tzaddik Ya'amu Ilshonim Harbe. Right? The Tzaddik has to labor for many weary years. The Tzaddik has to work very hard. Lahachtnis is Ruach HaKedush Eliboy. But never the Baal Tshuva. On the other hand, by the Baal Tshuva, he has it implanted directly by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Baal Tshuva has it implanted, Nema Baal Tshuva V'ruach HaDosha Etin V'kirbachem, that I'm going to place, that I'm going to place a Ruach HaDosha, I'm going to place V'kirbachem within you. And therefore, being that the person who is spiritually crippled, as we said, he can't do it himself, so he has to cry out, he cries out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it for him. Therefore, he said the following observation. So from here we come to a conclusion. That a chayte should never say, Hech oshuv, he said, how am I able to do tshuva? It comes to a point where sometimes a person falls into a despair. And he said to himself, he says, Hech oshuv, how is it possible for me to do tshuva if I'm roche kol kach? After all, I'm already so far distant. He says to himself, I'm so far from anything that is good and holy, he says. Being molerit sinus velibi mitumtim, says, I'm full of desire for all the wrong things. And the avenues of Kedusha are blocked. Says Rav Dessler, the Chayte should never say that. Why? Because all he has to do, ki olav rak lirayso listakel be'emes, because all he has to do is see the situation truly and clearly. V'yizcharet v'yivakesh meshem yizborach, and he has to, right, be mispalel, and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him, which means like this. The Baal Teshuva says, how am I able to do it? I'm so far. The answer is, you can't do it, but Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it for you. That's the answer. The Baal Teshuva only falls, the person, the potential Baal Teshuva falls into a matzah of a huge despair because he looks at it from his own vantage point. From his own vantage point, he says, I'm so far, and I've desired to do everything that's wrong and so on. So how am I able to come close? And the answer is, you're right, with your own conscience, you can't. But guess what? We're not going to ask you to do it. As long as you want that, that's your goal, and you want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have charata in your past, and you really want to come close, and now you want to change, you want to turn over your life, don't worry about you doing it. You can't do it, Taki. But Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it. And that's the answer to the Baal Teshuva. That removes all his problems. That should remove all his doubt. Because as he says, Malachta again, Malachta teyosa al yoda yizbarach. That is, his work will be all cut out for him. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do it for him and bring him born. And he'll bring him back. And as we'll see soon, as he points out, as we'll see from another posik, very interesting, the Chaim Mepurishet to Yaakov Ovino Olav HaSholem, we know Yaakov Ovino also we find such a similar thing, the posik of Yivagah Bamokoyim. Yaakov Ovino, we see that, you know, he comes to Choron, and realizes that what? That he passed Haran Moriah, and he should have stopped there to be mispalel. So all of a sudden he has a desire to go back. What happened? And this happened. That the earth contracted, Koftzol Yoritz, and all of a sudden Haran Moriah comes to him. Shomer Chazal Mekim Shinosan Datei Lazer Miyad Koftzol Yoritz. As Rav Dessler says, so the Baal Teshuva shouldn't say, how can I do it? We're not asking you to do it. As long as you would like to do it. As long as you want to do it. As long as you have a desire to do it. And the Melech therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he'll take it up to the top. V'nemar. And it goes even a step further. In this Venema, he's saying even a step further. The step further is that it goes even more. Because Baruch Hu's mercy goes as follows. The Pasuk says, we see this Pasuk so many times, and yet we sometimes fail to see a very important nekuda in this Pasuk. Pasuk says, let's read the Pasuk. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'Nashuva. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's translate literally. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return. Right? Return us to you. Hashiveinu. What's v'Nashuva? And we will return. If Hashem returned us, what's the Neshuva? If already says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho, we're asking Hashem, Hashem return us to you. What's the Neshuva? And we will return. If Hashem returned you already, what are you returning to more? What else is there to return? So that's the sin of the Pshat is differently. The truth is, Hashem is bringing you back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit as if you did it yourself. That's the Galus. We're saying, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho. Bring us back, v'nashuva, and we will return. Even though it was you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that did it. This is the mercy, this is the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He gives us the credit for what Hashem does on our behalf, as we ourselves did it, because we wanted it. We had rotzen for that. This was our tshuka, this was our desire. If this was your desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though you're physically handicapped, spiritually handicapped, and you can't do it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it, but give you credit as if you have done it. Let's see the Lashon Rav Dessler here. V'nema, the Pasuk says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'neshuva pirish. What does the Pasuk mean? The Pasuk means, Shachoyte tzorech rak lischaret. The Choyte, we're not asking him to do it. He can't do it. He's not able to do it. But the Choyte, therefore, at least he has to have charote. That he's able to do. Charote he's able to have. So we're asking the Choyte only to have charote. Will his spalal be'emes and to ask Hashem to do the work for him. Be mispalal to Kodesh, reach out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The spalal be'emes sheshivenu Hashem yizbarach elo. Be mispalal to Kodesh Baruch Hu should return him to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem yirachmenu kol kach. The rachmonus of Kodesh Baruch Hu will be to the extent at shegama she yeshivenu nechshev kilu shabbat smoy, as if the chayta did it himself. That's what v'nashuva means. K'mashu Kotzer says v'nashuva. V'nashuva means as if we did it, as he says in the brackets, because the ilav ochi. Because if not, if you don't learn this way pshat, if you don't learn pshat like that, kosher. Acha Hashem Yisborach Yashiveinu Ad Eilof. If Hashem already brings us back all the way to Him, Imkein La'an Yoshev Achi Kebeasimais. What's v'nashuva? What else is left to come closer? Hashem already brought you. Right? So Mamela, so the Pshat is Hashem will do it, but Rahman of Hashem is that even though Hashem is the one who's going to bring you back, because Baruch Hu gives you credit as if you did it. V'zeu inyan, and that is really what it means, is in this sense that we say Yesh koinoi lomoi b'shoachas. It means the person can earn, right, his world in 1 hour. This lashon Yesh koinoi b'shoachas, every place in Shas, right, has to do with a Baal Shuvah. Wherever you find this lashon, yesh koin alomah b'shoachas, the person is able to, right, to acquire his world. He can earn his world in 1 hour. As he says, lebechol mokayim shenizker ze b'shas, wherever you find this phrase, yesh koin alomah b'shoachas, right, that you find is by the Baal Teshuvah. Which means to say is, the Baal Teshuvah, who through many years, right, of sin, many years like of sin and defilement, so basically he had severed all the links and ties to Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, what we find out is he's able to return Pasha in one great leap, Mishachas. He's able to return one great, even though, right, as we say, basically he himself did not have the courage to do it. But that's the idea that he wanted to return, the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings him back. Aval hatzadik, but the tzadik on the other hand, omal hu koli mechayev. Tzadik doesn't do it in one leap. The tzadik is omal koli mechayev. He has to struggle all his life, right? Lalois madrager lalge, to advance, right, from one rung to the other. No, so the question is, you say to yourself, maybe better than to be a Baal Teshuvah. Look, the tzadik has to work all his life. Tzadik has to work all his life to go from madrager to madrager. And here you have the Baal Teshuvah, yesh koin olam b'shachas. Now the Baal Teshuvah, why is the Baal Teshuvah being brought up the ladder, right? Right, in one leap? Because he's not able to do it. He's not able to do it because he's like the person who's physically or spiritually amputated. So, if a person, let's say, has two healthy legs, right, he's able to climb the ladder with two healthy legs. So now it means that whether he's going to have to really climb rung by rung, but he's doing it. On the other hand, if the person, right, who has two healthy legs, and he's forced, right, to climb the ladder, it takes him 5 hours to climb to the top, and then he looks and he sees the cripple, right, that the cripple doesn't have to have somebody else carrying him. Now, he's going to be envious of the cripple, that the cripple, because he doesn't have like somebody else, is going to have to take him, because there's a lot to be gained to be able to do it on your own 2 feet. Even though the Baal Teshuvah is being, in one swoop, is being taken up, but there's much more that's being gained by the tzaddik is doing it, right, on his own, as he goes out to point out. He says, look now, observe the difference between the Baal Teshuvah and the tzaddik. V'hinei lo yekane odom, he says, no one envies the cripple. V'hinei lo yekane odom b'chituch ha-reglayim. No one envies the cripple, right? Oh, he says it's a privilege, somebody else is carrying up. Is anyone say that? Nobody's going to say this cripple is a privileged person. Look, somebody else is carrying up. He doesn't have to do the work himself. Nobody can be envious of him. So nobody will be mekane the chituch ha-reglayim ala shelo yelach baraglov. Right? And he has to be carried up by others up the ladder. And therefore, Kamoi Kain, similarly, the tzaddik should not be envious of the Baal Teshuvah, he says. Kamoi Kain, bevada ain't the tzaddik likane be Baal Teshuvah. Should not be envious of the Baal Teshuvah. Because why? Because reward is apportioned according to the work done. So even though we said that the Baal Teshuvah, right, in one swoop is being taken up, right, and he gets Olam Haba, but that Olam Haba is not the same type of Olam Haba that the tzaddik who works laboriously all his life. And he says, Shaischar hu lefi reiv ha-maise, Shaischar is apportioned according to the work done, u'madregis kifisha sayetzer, and according to the degree, right, a success in conquering one's yetzer hara. So therefore you can be sure that the tzaddik who has to toil day after day or hour after hour, so bevadai shat tzaddik asher kol yomav hu mischazik keneged yisroel, to the tzaddik who all his life basically has to work, right, and to fight off his yetzer hara, so certainly hu yosef gavim baal teshuvah. So vim ken kosher, so that's the case, that So measured on a scale, therefore, right? So if you're measuring on a scale, there's no doubt that the tzaddik, therefore, is greater than the Baal Teshuva. Because why? Because after all, the tzaddik was engaged, right, in a constant struggle with the Yetzirah all of his days. So how do you understand the Gemara's report when the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, Rabbi wept when he learned, when he hears that Hiroshi, he says, he heard that Russia succeeded in getting Olam Haba in one brief moment, right? And he said, some gay Bacher Rebbe, some gay in Olam Haba, he said, in 1 hour. And yet others have to toil many. It's a big difference. Those who toiled many years, they can have a different Olam Haba. We see that someone is crying, right, that he's getting something for nothing. Look, other people have to work for it, and this one's getting it for nothing. But the truth is, the tzaddik who works for it more, he's going to have a much greater share. So what's the cry about that the Baal Teshuva is koyin olam haba b'sha'achas, but it's not going to be the same olam haba as the tzaddik. So avim kein koshe, so the question is, achashev shin brocha shevena, the question is, what's the brocha rebbe? Yesh koyin olam b'sha'achas, he says, the yosem is that koshe l'hovim. We also have to understand, we know another Gemara. Other Gemara seems to say the opposite. The Gemara Bracha says that Mokim Shabbal Teshuva Oimdim Tzadikim Gimurim Einim Yecholim Lamoid. V'chehech Yishu Gedoilim Tzadikim. How can they be greater than Tzadikim? In what sense can the Baal Teshuva, after all, the Baal Teshuva, right, was Koyin B'Shachas, but that was done by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, was the one who brought him up the ladder. Whereas the Tzadik, who unremittingly, continuously struggled, so his chas is going to be much greater. So what does it mean that B'Mokin Shabbal Teshuva Imdim, Tzadikim Gimura Men Yichol Lanza? Common Gemara. A lot of perushim in that Gemara. No, this is just the following. There's one nekuda that the Baal Teshuva has over the Tzadik, as we're going to see. And in that sense, Mokim Shabbal Teshuva Imdim Tzadikim Gimura Men Yichol Lanza. There's one nekuda. What is that nekuda? Onom, he says, Birura Yishol Dover. He says, this is going to be the answer. Ola Kosef. The Pasuk says, the Novi tells us, Kol Anikra Bishmi Ulechvaydi Barosiv Yotzartiv Af Asisiv. The Pasuk says that the purpose of creation, everything in this world, is to bring out Kvod Shamayim. That's what the Pasuk says. Kol Anikra Bishmi Ulechvaydi Barosiv. I fashioned it, I formed it, I made it. Whatever it is in this world is for one purpose. The Novi clearly says, it's remote Kvod Shamayim. Ki Tachlis Abriya, right? Ashal Yoda Yizgale. The Tachlis of the Briya is to bring about, right, to bring about Kavod Yisbarach. Okay, now, once we understand that, that's a given fact, none to argue about. If we understand that the purpose of creation is to bring about Kavod Shemayim, what are the best ways of bringing about Kavod Shemayim? What are the best ways? So that's the positive, he says, there are two ways that Kavod Shemayim is brought into the world. What are the two ways? So number one, he says, there are two ways. First of all, there's Aleph. The first way is Asher Tzadikim B'Maseim. One way simply, Kvod Shemayim is brought about, he says, by the fact, he says, by Tzadikim who reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty by their actions. Tzadikim, by their actions, right, bring about Kvod Shemayim. Shemoyslim Nafshim Lasses Ritzon Koinom. So Heim Yegalu Bozeh Es Hadar Kavoidoi. So tzaddikim, through their actions, to show how committed they are, and their behavior, and so on and so forth. So tzaddikim, the very essence of tzaddikim, the whole hanhoge, the whole character, what they do and how they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that brings out Kvod Shemayim. That's one way, that's poshut. Beis, there's another way. The other way that Kvod Shemayim can come out, right, but that is not always right away seen. The second way that Kvod Shemayim is brought up, and that is, he says, Behanhogoso Yisborachim Ho'olam Lefi Maisa Odom. The second way, he says, that we find out that Kvod Shemayim, by seeing the way Kadosh Baruch Hu conducts his world. By seeing the way, now sometimes we don't understand it, but when the veil will be removed, and then it will clearly become understood, everything that took place, then tremendous Kvod Shemayim will come out, as he points out here. The second way of Kvod Shemayim is B'Hanhogoso Yisborachim Oilam, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world, he says, Lifi Maisa Odom, right? He conducts the world according, in response to how people behave. Yizgalu, it will become revealed, Kishi Yisuru Hateuyos Min Oilam. In other words, when the veil will be removed, so then all the depth of Hashem's wisdom will become evident. Over the oimer kochmosoi, the depth of Hashem's wisdom, dig dug mishpatoi v'amitoi. It'll become the precise justice and truth of Hashem will become evident. The oitzim rachmav libli shir, and also the immense unending mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, because you see how, if you're able to recognize how Hashem's justice, right, corresponds, the midah keneged midah, if we'd be able to recognize when you remove the veil, you'd be able to recognize it, so it comes out tremendous kavod shamayim. Now, if midah keneged midah brings out kavod shamayim, it's an interesting thing, even the Rosha, by the way, by doing the wrong thing, it's a very interesting point. A Rosha who did something bad, but as a result of doing something bad, Hashem punishes him exactly midah keneged midah. So he was a vehicle of bringing out kavod shamayim. So a person through his actions, right? A person through his actions that starts, right? That charges Hashem's response according to his actions, he has a chilling of the Kvod Shemayim that becomes evident through Hashem's actions. Because it is his action, right? It was his action that brought about Hashem's, right? Hashem's response. So the Kvod Shemayim, as he says, V'gam b'zeh yishlodim chelik boy. So man also has a chilling in Kvod Shemayim of Hashem's response. Because the person through his actions was the goyrim, his galo is zuah de maiso. By doing maisa A, right? By doing maisa A, so that emitted a response according to maisa A. Doing maisa B, right? So that brought a response according to maisa B. It goes to an extreme. Actually, the character of Levi Yisrael Baditchiva says, it's a phenomenal thing. Everybody knows, of course, what happened in Mitzrayim. We just finished the parishes of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So you have the Mitzrayim, right? The Mitzrayim. So they went through all the Eser Makos. And of course, which climaxed with Kriyas Yamsuf. All of these Makos, right, as the Pasuk says, brought about Kvod Shemayim. V'yidatim k'ani Hashem. Right? V'yodu k'ani Hashem. The world's going to recognize. Power is going to recognize. So it comes out in an ironic way that through the riches of the Mitzrayim, right, that caused Hashem to bring all of these Makos, right? Kiddushim Shemayim came out in the world. Kiddushim Shemayim came out in the world. So guess what? The Mitzrayim will be rewarded for that aspect in Shemayim, in the next world. It's half of a fellow. Here they're being punished, they're being plagued. 10 Makkas, right? 10 Makkas. This is not enough that we look at how much they deserve to be punished. Look all the Makkas that they receive because of the riches. But that riches brought out Kiddushim Shemayim. Because of the riches, that brought out Hashem, right? That caused Hashem to make all the Eser Makkas, bring all the Nisim and the Flois. And that brought a Kvod Shemayim to the world. So in a funny way, the Mitzrayim were a vehicle bringing about Kvod Shemayim. So Hashem punishes for what's deserved to be punished, but Hashem also does not withhold schar for anything positive, indirectly, even for what a person did. Hashem's justice and mishpat is exacting. For what a person deserves schar, you get schar, and for what's not schar, of course, you don't get schar. So this word definitely points out that a person has a chelik in any Kvod Shemayim, right, of the justice that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to mete out. The justice Kadosh Baruch Hu had to mete out, and this brings out a Kvod Shemayim in the world. The person himself, who is the cause of this, his galus, also has a chelik. No, so Chazal says follows. So Chazal have said that pischoi ki pischoi shel machat, vani eftach lehem ki pischoi shel ulam. So Chazal said, all I ask from you is very small. I ask from you only open up like the opening of a needle. Open up the opening of an eel, v'ani eftach lochem kipischoi shel ulam, and I will open for you gates, the size of the gates, he says, right, of an auditorium. Hashem said, listen, just open up the door a little bit. Just open up your heart, just a needle point. And if you open up a little, I will open up, he says, miles wide. Hashem asks him, just do a little bit. So he says as follows, can I get call his chaskus, he says, corresponding, means that any little effort, can I get call his chaskus, he says, chazik odom avodis Hashem, against any little effort that Hashem, that a person is mischazik avodis Hashem, mashpira HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyata dishmaya bishiro otzum, hazeh shopitzko shulam. A person just show a little bit. A person who shows just a little bit in Avodas Hashem, he makes one little step, Hashem responds with Siyata Dishmaya in a tremendous proportion, the ratio, he said, of a mighty gateway to a needle point, to a small needle point. pischa shel ulam le erech pischa shel machet. V'chol ikar ha-mishpet v'harachmin b'negei lo'ilam hazeh. He says, and all he says, the focal point, he says, that the focal point is that all the mishpat and rachmim they gain this world, while devar hashpois sati deshma yezu, gam hashpois rachim gashmim tul b'zeh. It's also the gashmim that Hashem gives you in this world is to enable you to serve Hashem better. So the nekudah is like this. The nekudah is the tachlis again. Let's understand as he points it out is to be able to bring out klal shemayim in the world. Klal shemayim in the world again is either through your meisim, right? Like it's a tzaddik who does gevaldi good, looking at the tzavod of the tzaddik. But then we find also the klal shemayim can also be done by the fact of looking. A person, like say the Balshuva. What's the Balshuva? Balshuva short because well, just a needle point. He just opens up his heart a little bit, and all of a sudden you find this Balshuva that yesterday he was so deeply sunk, right, into a world of depravity, and then you're able to see how is this person able to change his life. It's a world of phenomenon that you find even today. That you see, you look at the before and the after. How are they able to make that tremendous transition? That's tremendous Klal Shemayim. But that's, you have to understand the Siyata Dishmaya. That you see that how the Baal Tshuva, looking at where he was and to say how is the Shaykh from being so far away to be able to come, right, and to turn around, right, 180 degrees, mamish, to turn around to the other side, that shows tremendous Kvod Shemayim, because without Siyata Dishmaya it can't be done. So the Baal Tshuva in his own way brought about a greater Kvod Shemayim, he says. It's a greater Kvod Shemayim in the area of Kvod Shemayim, he says, than the tzaddik. In the world, if you're dealing with the essence of Kvod Shemayim, the Baal Tshuva is a greater Kvod Shemayim. When a person says the tzaddik, the tzaddik does it, brings Kvod Shemayim. But what's a greater Kvod Shemayim? Greater Kvod Shemayim is that what? That from a little needle point hole, all of a sudden be able to open up, but to the size of an opening of an auditorium. That's a much greater Kvod Shemayim. So the area of seeing Kvod Shemayim, the Baal Tshuva brings out, the Baal Tshuva, looking before and after what happened, that transformation, in the area of Kvod Shemayim, Baal Tshuva achieves more. And in that sense, Mokim Shebaal Tshuva Oimdim, Ein Tzadikim Gimur Yicholem, in that area. Avad in the mitzvahs of Maisim Toivim, with all the Maisim Toivim that a Tzadik does, Avad in Tzadik gets much more schar, fighting off the Yetzirah. Tzaddik is a much higher madrei than a Baal Tshuva in that sense, in terms of how much schar will get for his avodah. His avodah was, as we said, continuous, unremitting, conquering the Yetzer with his own efforts. But regarding Kvod Shemayim of the world, being that the whole tachlis of the Bria was to bring Kvod Shemayim, a person looks at a tzaddik and looks at a Baal Tshuva, he'll see more siyata d'shmaya in the avodah of a Baal Tshuva than the avodah of a tzaddik. Looking at it. Well, look, because you look at a Baal Tshuva, you just can't understand with your own seichel how the Shaykh to make that tremendous transition. And Baal Tshuvas are all kinds of Baal Tshuvas. Some were so far gone, and yet to become so completely, right, going on top. That Kvod Shemayim, that Siyata D'Shmaya that is seen, is only seen by the void of the Baal Tshuva to a greater extent than from the void of the Tzaddik. So in the area of promoting Kvod Shemayim, the Kvod Shemayim factor, which has the tachlis of the Bria, by the way, as he pointed out, can be seen greater than the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva brings out a greater Kvod Shemayim in his avoda. And on that nekuda, we say, Mokesh Baal Tshuva Oimdim, Ein Tzadikim Gimurim, Yechoyim Lamoit. Just a few minutes left, so we'll leave the sheet, but let me just tell you a little maise, talking about Baal Tshuva here. So leave the sheet maybe for next time, you can just put it later when you finish, so maybe we'll use it another time. A Baal Tshuva, his name was Reb Simcha Barnett, Rabbi Yisai. The Baal Tshuva by the name of Simcha Barnett was a director of the Eish HaTorah program in Philadelphia. Eish HaTorah is, you know, a very famous Baal Tshuva area, institution, and there are a number of places, of course in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows. So this person of Simcha Barnett is the director of the Eish HaTorah program in Philadelphia, and he has a brother named Mechoil. Well, basically, he works for Eish HaTorah office in Brooklyn. Okay, so both of them are involved in Eish HaTorah. One of them, as we said, this Reb Simcha is involved in the program in Philadelphia, and the other one is involved in Brooklyn. Lamaisa, both of them grew up in Long Island. Were not observant at all, did not grow up in an observant home. They attended the same public schools, the same friends, played the same games, same hobbies, they worked in the same professions, and in their 20s, both became Baal Tshuva. in the 20s. Now, as a result that they became Baal HaTshuva, right? So they were always trying to find people, right, who were able to bring them to see the light in the same way that they were able to see the light. They actually began their journey, the Simcha Barnet and Mechoel Barnet, when they had a future to be promising Wall Street bankers. But once they became Baal HaTshuva, they decided to devote their life to the world of Kiruv. And as we said, Eshet Torah in Brooklyn, when then Eshet Torah in Philadelphia, and so on. So it was on a particular Yontif morning. So Reb Simcha relates an incident that happened to him and his brother. He said before they became Baal HaTshuva. And he said like this: among the different things that they enjoyed in the world of sports before they were Baal HaTshuva was bike riding. At that time, instead of Simcha and Mechoel, it was Steve and Mitch. Those were the two names. And so they enjoyed bike riding, and they participated in bike riding tours in numerous cities and countries. In the 1980s, they joined a group that was biking through New Zealand. And New Zealand is comprised of two islands. There's the north and the south, and it's separated by a strait. I believe it's called Cook Strait. Right, it was a water that separates the two islands. And so the chesed that they had was that they're going to start biking at the tip of the northern island, and right, they're going to go the entire island from north to south, and then they're going to cross the strait by ferry, and then cycle through the south island to the tip, which it comes out by because a distance of 1500 miles. Okay. So at the foot of the southern Alps in the South Island, they came to an 8 mile long path. Okay, 8 mile long path. The incline was so steep, so that it seemed as though they would be cycling like up a straight wall. So the cyclists, they struggled to pedal forward as much as possible. And you can imagine how they had to strain their muscles. And as Simcha was riding slowly, he says, and excruciatingly onward, he saw something that he never saw before. He was looking ahead at the cyclists that were ahead of him, climbing that steep mountain, biking that steep mountain. He saw that the bikers ahead were unzipping their backpacks and tossing away anything that was not absolutely necessary in order to lighten the load. So he noticed that one biker got rid of an extra wrench, another tossed away a heavy book, another one discarded a broken helmet. Everyone was lightening the load because every ounce that he was carrying on his back was making it more difficult. So the more load, right, that you're able to get rid of would make it easier to bike. So when Simcha saw what was transpiring, he thought to himself that if he would try to reach the top of the mountain, he also has to get rid of a lot of excess baggage. So years later, he says, when he became a Baal HaTshuva, you know, Baal HaTshuva tried to utilize everything in their previous life, if they can, to take something positive, right, in their new life. So Simcha said, when he became a Baal HaTshuva, he remembered the journey, and he realized that the same way that if you want to, he says, get to the top of a spiritual mountain, he said, then you have to discard a considerable amount, get rid of a lot of secular baggage. When you're climbing the secular, you're climbing a spiritual mountain. But what's interesting is because that the Kli Yoker, when I'm mentioning this, because the Kli Yoker wrote a sefer called Oilus Ephraim. The Sefer of Ephraim, he quotes the pasuk. We all know that pasuk: "Miyale b'har Hashem, u'miyokim b'mkoyim kotshoy." So, in other words, David HaMelech is comparing the ascent up a spiritual mountain, he says, to the ascent of a physical mountain. "Miyale b'har Hashem" is called climbing the Har Hashem. He's not talking about physical climbing a mountain, but he says he's comparing the spiritual growth of a person, right, is as if you're climbing a physical mountain. And HaMelech, he says, "Niki chapayim u'bar levav." You have to make sure to get rid of any extra. Get your hands clean. It means you have to make sure to get rid of any extra masa, to get rid of extra load. Because the same way that when you're climbing a physical mountain, right, the more load that you're carrying is more difficult. So same way when you're climbing the spiritual mountain, you have to get rid of a masa. Get rid of extra masa. And here's the chap. Says the Kli Yoker in the Sefer Oilus Ephraim. You know what the word masa means? Masa means a load. If you're climbing a spiritual mountain, and you have to get rid of excess baggage to make it easier, to climb easier, so you're going to throw away part of the masa. You want to throw the load. What load are you throwing away? Masa, he says, is a Rosh Tevis of three words. The mem is momoin, right? And the shin of masa is smolois, clothing, and the aleph is oichel, is food, which means to say quite simply, the Olos Ephraim says that if a person is totally preoccupied either by the pursuit of the dollar of the mammon, or is overly obsessed by his clothes, or he's always insisting that he eats only the finest foods, that person, he says, is carrying a load that will prevent him from reaching the top of the spiritual mountain. So if you climb the spiritual mountain, get rid of the matzah, get rid of the mammon, right? Don't be infatuated with mammon. Get rid of the smolois, right? Don't be infatuated with clothing. And al-Ochel, don't make a career of eating either, to indulge in that. If you do all that, he says, then you'll be able to be zeichah, he says, you'll be able to climb this spiritual mountain. Mi yalabah Hashem, mi yokim, mi kumkoche, mi kicha paim, mi bar leibah.